Welcome to Truth Matters, the radio ministry of Grace Community Church of Washington Courthouse, Ohio. God's word will stand forever, and it brings hope and life. Let us study it together now.
Decision time. Welcome to the book of Deuteronomy. You know, one thing I can say with 100% confidence that this is a true statement is that each of you here already today have made more decisions and choices than you can count. Our life is just one succession of choices and decisions. You probably were not awake more than a few seconds this morning before you made your first decision. It could have been like this. Am I going to get up right at this moment? Yeah, am I going to wait another minute or two? That's a choice, a decision. You decided what you were going to wear this morning, what you were going to have for breakfast, how much breakfast you were going to have. As you were driving here, you constantly made decisions about, do I want to go a little bit faster? Should I slow down a little bit? When do I turn my signal light on? Folks, I know a lot of those decisions are so what we would call mundane that we don't give them a lot of thought. But nevertheless, they demonstrate that one of the essential elements of experiencing life as a human is the never-ending succession of decisions and choices that we make. And if you can come to terms with that simple realization, you're well on your way to understanding the book of Deuteronomy, that in all my years of preaching here at Grace, we've been in Deuteronomy thousands of times, but we've never done a deliberate study of the book in and of itself. And so, since this is the first day of our new series called Choose Life, and we're just getting started, let's go right to chapter 30. So, turn in your Bibles to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. And so I say that with this consideration. Why start a sermon series in chapter 30 instead of chapter 1? Well, the answer to that is found in the series title, Choose Life. The entire book of Deuteronomy, which contains 34 chapters, the entire book can be boiled down to one central message, one central command, one central application. Choose life. Choose life. Deuteronomy calls upon you to make a decision about your life, your goals, your beliefs, your actions, your attitudes. In many ways, as you know, life is just a long series of choices and decisions. And the ultimate decision is the one that Deuteronomy compels you to face. Will you choose God? If you choose God, you choose life. Will you choose Him? Today, we'll be in chapter 30 for reasons I hope will become evident fairly soon. We're going to today just be in verses 11 through verse 20. And I know you've been up and down a couple of times already today, but I really like this as reverence to the Word of God as we launch a new study today. Let's stand, and would you read out loud with me? So I'll be reading aloud, of course, but I'd like you to also read, and if they're in your Bible, your phones are on the screens, verse 11 through verse 20. Here we go. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. All right, have a seat. Let's go. This is going to be, I hope, interesting, fascinating, exciting. All of those things, I think, are present there in the book of Deuteronomy. But you know what I've ultimately been praying for you, for me, and hoping is that this study will be transformative. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking a lot this week about this little idea. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it became more and more common in the vocabulary of Grace Community Church, as we talk back and forth, you know, the simple little things we go, hey, how you doing? What's up? How you feeling? What's going on? You know, those little innocent generic questions. If it became more and more common for our answers to those questions to be, hey, I'm choosing life. Hey, how you doing? I'm choosing life. What are you up to? I'm choosing life. Because of the 34 chapters in Deuteronomy, I really believe that if we had to boil it down, not only just to one paragraph or one sentence, but just one phrase, I think it would have to be those two words. Choose life. Choose life. And there is so much truth, so much content in that little statement, choose life. But man, nothing would make me happier for you as a pastor, as a brother or sister in Christ. I can't think of anything that I could, anything better that I could wish upon any of you than this, that day by day, you choose life. You choose life. Well, let's dig a little bit into this. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. Now, it's Moses, of course, who's speaking here. And by the way, and I don't want you to take time to do it in the next several minutes, because then you won't be paying attention. But you may have noticed on your notes today, the sermon part of the notes is only one side of the page. On the back side is an introduction to the book of Deuteronomy, and I just watched 50 people flip, which is fine, but I'll flip back to the notes, okay? But I'd encourage you in the weeks to come, we'll try and give you different things like you find on the back of your notes today to help you, because some of Deuteronomy to us will seem strange. And why is this even in the Bible? So we want to help you understand the book. But if you could go to verse 15 and 16, although it's Moses speaking, and it is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, he's really speaking to them as God's spokesman. So in verse 15, he says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, as the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." God is inviting the people of Israel. In a minute, we'll give you the background of where we are in history. But God is inviting the people of Israel. Oh, come and be blessed. Come and be blessed. Experience, as we were just singing, my goodness. But remember this, folks, it's as true today as it was then. God cannot pour his blessings into hands that are already full. God cannot pour his blessings into hands that are already full. So he invites through Moses the people of Israel, come and be blessed. Experience my goodness to the fullest. Now, here's the key. If you're to understand Deuteronomy, there are three gigantic, huge things that you need to understand. But if you can get these three things, so whenever you open the book of Deuteronomy, the book that says choose life, that whenever you open it, you're aware of these three things, you're going to reap so much of the good that's in this book. Number one, Deuteronomy, and we'll unpack this in future studies. Today, I'll just throw it your way. Deuteronomy, what you're actually reading is a treaty, a peace treaty between two parties, a covenant. Well, who are the two parties in this peace treaty? Israel and God. One of the wonderful, fascinating things about Deuteronomy is historians and archaeologists have studied that time period, and we're talking 3,500 years ago, have recognized that this is actually the type of, this book of Deuteronomy is structured like the peace treaties that the nations of the ancient Near East often used. So you are actually reading the terms and the conditions of a treaty between God and the people of Israel. And it's certainly appropriate to call it a covenant. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's just look at the language of the covenant, the language of the treaty. Chapter 4, verse 9 through 14. By the way, have you noticed the screens keep getting dimmer and dimmer? We're aware of that. We're working on that. What we're really doing is manipulating you to bring your Bibles. No, we're not. But anyhow, chapter 4, verse 9 through 14. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children. By the way, this is a book about parenting. I would like us, and I haven't mentioned to Paul or Josh or Don yet, but not too far into this series, we're going to do a table talk on parenting from the book of Deuteronomy. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on that day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that's where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the feet of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. And then the Lord spoke to you out of heaven, or in the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you, here it is, his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. So always keep in mind when you read Deuteronomy that you're looking at a covenant, the Mosaic covenant, or the peace treaty between God and Israel. Now, the next one is huge, and we're going to spend more time here next week. Huge. You have to know, if Deuteronomy is going to make sense, you have to know what happened. Here it comes. At Kadesh Barnea. Wow, Jay, I'm lost. I don't even know what Kadesh Barnea is. It was a place, and something horrible happened there. And what horrible thing is found in the book of Numbers, go to the book of Numbers. Again, the first five books of your Old Testament, we call in the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So right before Deuteronomy is the book of Numbers. Well, what's happening here in history is this. Remember, this is all to help us understand, what does it mean to choose life, choose life, choose life? If you want to choose life, remember what happened at Kadesh Barnea. So the people of Israel, the children of Israel, had been in Egyptian slavery for many, many years. Their total time in Egypt from the days of Joseph up until the days of Moses, that intervening time was about 400 years. At the beginning, it wasn't a place of slavery for Egypt. For the people of Israel, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Egypt did not start out as a place of slavery, but it became a horrible place of slavery. So God raised up Moses to lead the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You all know the famous story of the book of Exodus. You shall set my people free. And so the people of Israel, because God delivers them and God just does one powerful miracle after another, totally defeats all the false gods of Egypt. People of Israel leave Egypt, head out. They're headed, where are they headed? To the land. It's another big part of Deuteronomy, the land. By the way, the land was in the news yesterday, wasn't it? Hezbollah shoots rockets into the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many people, including children, killed in the land. I'm telling you, Deuteronomy has so much to tell us about today. But anyhow, before we get there. So Moses leads the people. They come up to the Red Sea. And there, once again, Pharaoh's heart turns hard. And Pharaoh says, why did we let them go? Let's go kill them. And so Pharaoh sends his army on chariots in pursuit of the people of Israel, who now are camped at the shore, the banks of the Red Sea. They have no place to go. They can't go any further forward because the Red Sea is blocking their passage. And now coming behind them, the armies of Pharaoh. People start to grumble and go, oh, it would have been better if we stayed in Egypt. You brought us out here to kill it. No. Moses raises his staff and the Red Sea parts. People walk through on dry land. The last of the Jews gets through. Here comes Pharaoh's army in pursuit. Now the Red Sea closes and the armies of Pharaoh are destroyed, never to be seen again. Israel, next stop, the land. The land that God promised Abraham, the land that he promised to Isaac and Jacob. It's your land now. Let's go. They come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And they stop. They're right on the edge. They're not yet in, by the way, the land that I keep referring to, Israel. They're just stopped short of getting into the land. And they send out 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes, spies to go into the land because the land is already inhabited. Okay, there are people already there. They're Canaanites, the most wicked people who ever lived on this earth. They're as wicked as the people who lived in the days of Noah. So the spies go in. They're gone 40 days. They come back with a report and say, yeah, man, this place is phenomenal. It truly is a land flowing with milk and with honey. But we can't go in. The people there are too big. They're too powerful. They're too mighty. There's giants in the land. They'll destroy us. We cannot go in. That's the report of 10 of the 12 spies. Two of the other spies, Joshua and Caleb, say, we can do it. What they're really saying is, God can do it. The people of Israel, in spite of having walked through the Red Sea, seen the 10 plagues, seen Pharaoh and his army broken, Well, let's take a look at Numbers chapter 14. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, hearing the report of the 10 spies. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation, the nation, said to them, "Oh, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. It's better than this. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?" This is Kadesh Barnea. This sets the table for everything in Deuteronomy. Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Let's go back. Let's go back. It's not too late. Let's go back to Egypt. And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader." You read between the lines. It's not hidden in any way. What are they saying? "We're done with Moses. We'll not listen to one more thing he says. We'll not walk one more step following his directions. We're going to pick somebody else. Somebody who can take us back. Let us go back to Egypt." So, this is what we call the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. Now, in response to this rebellion, and we'll look at this in depth next week, God says, "Okay, I'm not going to let you go into the land. I was going to defeat all those enemies. You were going to be safe and protected and provided for the whole time, and then you were going to enjoy the land that I have prepared for you. But instead, since you don't want to follow me and you're ready to kill Moses, because the spies were gone 40 days, here's what's going to happen. You, as a nation, are going to be stuck right here in the wilderness for 40 years. And anyone who's at this moment at Kadesh Barnea who is age 20 and above, you don't have to worry about entering the land anymore because you're never going to see it. This entire generation, age 20 and above, since you're all part of the rebellion, you'll never enter the land. You'll die in the wilderness." So the first two things you need to know about Deuteronomy is, number one, it's a peace treaty. It's a covenant. Number two, remember what happened at Kadesh Barnea, because Deuteronomy is Moses' message 40 years later to the children who are now adults. But those who were children at Kadesh Barnea, who themselves are now parents and grandparents, Deuteronomy is Moses' last words to them. And Moses will die shortly. Moses dies at the end of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is basically just two or three sermons that Moses preaches at the very end. And at the very end, this is what he says. Choose life. Look at what I've set before you today. Life and death. Choose life. So those were his words to those children, now adults, and their children, who's followed the generation that rebelled at Kadesh Barnea. I'm telling you, Deuteronomy is an incredible book. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3. To just set the table, this is then spoken after the 40-year wilderness event. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel. So everything that you're going to see in the book of Deuteronomy flows from this. 40 years have ended. Guess what time it is now? It's time to enter the land. Again, it was this time 40 years ago, and we know what happened. What are you going to do this time? You have another chance. What will you do now? according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. Deuteronomy, as you've just seen here, makes such a huge emphasis on the importance of keeping God's commands. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. So we're going to be jumping here a little bit, but just to remind you, the centrality of God's commandments in verse 11 of chapter 30. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. And neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, well, who's going to go over there and bring it, get it for us and bring it to us that we can hear it and do it. It's very close. It's right in front of you. This now is the word of God to you. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. You know, so many things are different today for us living the New Testament Christian life as opposed to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll make sure we understand the differences. But today I want to talk about the similarities, because the New Testament reminds us the importance, if we're going to choose life, if we're going to have a personal, intimate relationship with God, if we're going to be able to come here on a Sunday morning and be able to sing sincerely from our hearts, oh, the goodness of God, all my life you have been faithful, and so I sing of the goodness of God. If we're going to be able to experience that, we also need to be those who keep the commandments. John, in 1 John, makes a huge deal about this. So 1 John 2, and by this we know, what's the evidence that we know God? What is the proof? What can we look at that would indicate that we are truly in a personal relationship with him? That we don't just know something about him because of what we've heard. No, we know him. And he knows us. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, well, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected.
You have been listening to Truth Matters, the radio ministry of Grace Community Church of Washington Courthouse, Ohio. We hope it has been an encouragement to you. If you would like to hear this message in its entirety or see the notes that go along with it, you can find them on our website, gracecommunity.net. That's gracecommunity.net. Just click the Resources tab. You will also find Grace's contact information, and we would enjoy hearing from you. Until next time, remember, truth matters.